Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080 or whatever platform you might be listening on. Again, my name is Ann Baldwin, and today we've got kind of a somber topic to talk about, but maybe not. It depends on how we frame this thing, right? But I'm sure any of you listening to this program have probably lost somebody close to you, lost a loved one, lost a mother, lost a father, lost a husband, lost a wife. Well, we're going to speak today with Warren Kozak, and Warren has a very impressive resume. He's been a writer for a number of publications, which we'll get into during this program. But what we're going to talk about is his latest work, which is called Waving Goodbye, Life After Loss. Warren, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Ann, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, you call this in your literature, it's a partner's guide to time. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes with grieving and how Father Time can work for you in your favor. So let's kind of back up and start to where this all came from. So your wife passed, but let's talk a little bit about what happened. Talk about your wife, talk about what that was like, the whole situation.
Sure. Maybe I should begin by saying this is a book I never expected to write. I've written a couple of other books, and
yes,
it just never dawned on me. And it's now 6 years since Lisa, my wife, died. And about 5 years out, when I was a little under, I, for some reason, wanted to look in my diary. I've been keeping a diary for most of my adult life, and I had forgotten how awful those last days were, and the days following after she passed away. What happened was Lisa was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer in January of 2014. It is not a killer cancer, and she was also a doctor, and knew a great deal about this and just said to me, well, we can treat this like a chronic illness and I should be able to live for another 30, 40 years. Of that small number that gets this disease with a ridiculously long name, Waldenstrom's macroglobulin anemia, it's hard to even say it.
Wow.
A very small percentage gets something called amyloidosis. And unfortunately, she was one of those, and when she learned that, and she was the one that knew it before the other doctors, that was the death sentence. And the last 4 years were very, very difficult. I'll also tell you one of the fascinating things for me was that while she was sick, I could take care of her. I worked remotely. I have a day job, and I have a fabulous boss that let me work remotely, and this was before COVID. When not that many people were doing this.
Right.
And I was able to take care of our daughter, who was then finishing high school and about to go into college. And I was able to do my job. I would be typing on my computer in the hospital room. After she died, I was fascinated because my brain just went out to lunch. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't concentrate. I think this is not unusual. I think people do lose concentration and some of their brain function after a trauma.
Can I just interrupt you a second?
Absolutely.
Again, let's give your wife, you know, due respect, Dr. Lisa Krenzel. I think one of the things is you talk about being a caregiver for someone who's sick. A lot of us have also been through that. I helped care for my elderly father until he passed at home. So it's one of those things where it's so consuming, right? You're trying to do work, you're trying to, you know, be the caregiver for this person, and then when that's done, it's like your brain it can't get out of its own way. I think that's what happens.
You're just trying to get through each day.
Exactly.
You can't look beyond that. And I am sure there are people listening to this right now that are going through it, and my heart goes out to them.
How old was your wife when she was diagnosed?
55, I think. Yeah.
55 years old. So you cared for her as much as you could at home?
It was at home and in the hospital. She was an inpatient in hospitals for a long time. So I would just be going to the hospital, spending most of my day there, and staying there until late at night, and then kind of bouncing back and forth to take care of our daughter as well.
Right. So talk about that day, that unfortunate day, January 1st, 2018.
Well, I made a decision about, well, I can tell you the exact date, December 15th, 2017, the hospice doctors in the hospital took me aside. It was right outside of Lisa's hospital room. And they said, and as I write in the most benign language possible, of an impending death, they said, there's no more we can do here. And our chief function now is to make her as comfortable as possible. Mm-hmm. And they actually predicted almost to the day. They said, she's not going to last months. It probably won't be weeks. And it turned out to be exactly 2 weeks. I decided then, they said I had two options. I could bring her home, or I could, we could go to a hospice hospital. And I went to look at it. It's a lovely facility. I knew right from the start I wanted her at home, because I would have wanted to be at home too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, yeah. And I brought her home, and she was with us for the last 2 weeks. I think this was actually one of the smarter decisions I made. It's different for everyone. Some people wouldn't want that. I wanted her in a house that, you know, in a home that we made together, where we raised our daughter, where we had wonderful times. And I'm also fascinated right now. I've thought about this, how in the old days, death, people didn't, they didn't run away from death. It was all around them. Children died. Parents lost children. There were no antibiotics. People died. And they usually died at home. And often, sometimes funerals were at home. But sometime in the mid-20th century, all that changed, and we kind of sanitized death. And the funeral, the funeral business kind of took over that function for us. For me, it was important that she was at home with us, and she was when she passed away, and it was on January 1st, 2018.
Now, you have a daughter at home as well. Talk about your daughter, Claire, as you do in the book. Again, the name of the book is Waving Goodbye, Life After Loss, and we're speaking with the author, Warren Kozak. Do you think that was a good thing or a bad thing for Claire?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. I think Claire would have to answer that for you. Mm-hmm. She happened to be home. She was in her sophomore year of college, and she said that she was, as soon as she went to college, she was worried that she was going to get a phone call every day that telling her that her mother died. Instead, she was home for winter break, and she was in the next room when it happened. And we went through this very much together. The three of us, my wife, my daughter, and I, were a really tight little unit. And I will say that after my wife passed away, Claire and I have become much closer. She lives near me. She's working as a teacher, and I see her at least once, twice a week. And she's the joy of my life. And how lucky am I to have a child? I know in the end, we can get to this later too, but I have come to the realization that I am grateful. And I never thought I would say that. I feel grateful and I feel lucky because I had something that a lot of people didn't get. I had a fabulous marriage. I have friends that have not been able to have that. I have a child, and I know a lot of people are trying to have kids and can't. I have a wonderful job and a great boss. So I'm grateful for the pluses. I lost Lisa, but you know, it's part of life, and we move on. We have to.
We have to. You talk about time. Time is one of your main themes, I think, right? correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
What is that? Explain that to the folks listening to the program. What does time mean?
I hope I can explain it, because I'm not sure I even still understand it myself. But I knew that right after Lisa died, I would hear these cliches, you know, time will heal, time. And I just thought, there's no way that anything is going to make me feel better, because the only thing that will make me feel better is if she walks back through the front door, and that ain't going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't believe it, especially in that first year. But then after that first year, the pain lessened, and it lessened even more after the second year, and more after the third year. And then one day, Ann, I was walking down the street. It was one of these gorgeous fall days, just perfect day. And I live in New York City, and people were smiling. You know, you don't see that too often here, right?
No.
And I had my AirPods in my ear, and I was listening to this gorgeous music. And then all of a sudden I realized, holy cow, I'm happy. I'm actually happy. And I never thought I would feel that way again. And what was it? It was just walking down the street, beautiful day, great music, and I just was happy to be alive. And I never thought I would feel that way.
You know what?
I just need to go back 1 second to Claire. And I think having her made, you know, I had to be the responsible adult here. I had to, I had to watch over her. And I think that helped me a lot. You gave me that responsibility.
Right. Well, you know, you bring up a good point, Warren, because I made the decision to keep my father in his home down the street from me as he went through, the end of his life. And the same thing, I even administered the morphine to keep him comfortable. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful that my mother came out, my family came out here from Colorado. We were all there. Even though my parents were divorced, they got to say their final words. And you know, today, to this day, and for me, my dad's a bird, any bird. and so when I see birds on my walk, or I see birds, I talk to the birds. You might call me crazy, but you know, it did take time to get to that point. And it sounds like you just needed that moment, the right song in your iPods, the right person smiling at you, the right kind of crisp fall day. Sometimes that's what it takes to say, you know what, we do have to move on. And that's really kind of what your book talks about, life after loss. And it doesn't have to just be, you know, your spouse. It can be the loss of anybody, really, can apply to what you wrote in this book.
I have a younger cousin who I always thought had just the perfect life and perfect marriage. She just gorgeous young woman, great husband, three great boys. And last September, the eldest, 22 years old, was on a scooter and got hit by a truck. The truck driver wasn't looking, and killed. And she was devastated. And we had coffee together. And I said, you know, losing a child is so different than losing a spouse. And I don't know if this book will help, but I gave her an early copy. It was actually just on my computer, and she read it overnight. And she wrote back the next morning saying, I read this, that it couldn't stop. And so much of this resonated with me. And you know, look, ultimately loss is loss, and it devastates you. But I think we should also, Ann, mention the numbers here. There are, I think, about 3.6 million widowers in the United States. There are 11.4 million widows. Together, that makes up 6% of the population, and those numbers are going to increase dramatically as the baby boomers pass on. And it's going to ultimately happen to everyone. And once again, I'm sure there are people listening to this right now that have gone through it, that are going through it. And that's ultimately, that's one of the reasons I wrote this book. And the other reason was that after Lisa died, people brought me books, and they were, many of them were written by psychologists and psychiatrists and grief counselors. And with all due respect, most of them were written in a very academic language. Mm-hmm. And your brain, my brain just wasn't functioning. Maybe these helped other people. They did not, they could not help me. So I wrote this, as you see, in a, it's a short book, short chapters, as easy to understand as I could possibly write. And hopefully that's why I did it, to help others.
Again, we're speaking with Warren Kozak, Waving Goodbye, Life After Loss. You do have a website. Where can people find this book, Warren?
Well, you can go to Amazon and just put in Waving Goodbye or my name, Warren Kozak. And I do have a website. It's warrenkozak.com.
That's
Kozak.
Right. We'll spell it all out for folks. They like to they like to write it all down. WARRENKOZAK.com. And I also want to mention, Warren, you know, I think this adds, you know, unfortunately, this was your experience and you wrote about that. But you also have, you know, a proven track record as a decorated journalist. You have worked with NPR, The Wall Street Journal, Washington Post. So you've got some editorial training in your background too. Was you know, because you might write stories, right? But you were writing your own story.
And I had never done that before, Anne. This was some, as I said, I didn't expect to write it. I always wrote about other people, and this is a deeply personal book, and I had mixed feelings about that. And there were times when I was doing it, I was thinking, am I doing the right thing here? Do I really want all of this out there? Here's a quick story for you.
Sure.
I had a friend who passed away who was exactly 30 years older than me. She was a former nun, and she was a great educator. She was the head of a Catholic girls' college. And we had the same birthday. Right after Lisa died, some mutual friends had a small birthday party for us. I was not even thinking straight at the time. I was turning 67, I think, so Elizabeth was turning 97. And someone at the table said, "So, Elizabeth, what have you learned in your 97 years?" And without missing a beat, and her name was Elizabeth McCormick, she said, "When you help others, you feel better about yourself." I've never forgotten those words.
Hmm.
And I think ultimately I was willing to put this very personal book out there for the whole world to see. And if it helps someone, then it's going to help me feel better. And maybe something good came out of this then.
What is it? Everyone's got their own interpretations of any book that they read, but what is it that you want? What's the takeaway for people?
I was going to say, I was going to make a wise guy answer.
Go ahead. You can be a wise guy.
I won't give away the ending.
Oh, don't give away the ending. Your publicist will be
tell
mad.
You, here's what happens. She dies. But here's the takeaway. The takeaway is, and it is, what I'm about to say is something I would not have believed in that first year, but things will get better. Things will get better. And it is a different timing for everyone. A friend of mine said it is like fingerprints. Everyone has... No one's fingerprints are alike. So this hits people in different ways. Some people, I have two friends whose wives died in the same year, and one of them met someone about a month after, moved on, and the other one met someone a year after, and they're both remarried. I am not.
Have you met someone?
And I decided not to go into the whole topic of dating. And people have asked that. They say, "Well, there's something missing in the book," and I just thought, you know, I can't go. That's almost a whole other book. I will tell you that some friends told me to go online, and my comment was, "The last time I did this, there was no internet."
Oh,
things have changed. But the takeaway, I think, is that things do get better, and eventually, for most people, I think, you will be having that walk down the street on that fall day that I described earlier, and you'll realize you're happy to be alive, you're happy to be on Earth, And life is the greatest gift we are given, and it shouldn't be squandered.
Absolutely not. And I also think there's a message in here, too, in this program that, you know, not everybody is in, you know, we don't all get along with our partners or our spouses all day long. But, you know, try to cherish the moments and the health that you have while you have it. I think that's another thing that people get complacent in relationships is it's just routine. It's like a 9-to-5 job, but it's more than 9-to-5, right? So then when it's, go ahead.
No, I get complacent now, Ann. You think it was just then? I get complacent because I thank God I have great health, and I, you know, we don't want to take it for granted, but we're human, and, you know, I forget. I just think, yeah, I feel great. I'm in great shape. No, it's a gift.
It is, and it's so, like you said, we've talked about cliches, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. But to the point where let the small stuff go, because none of us are here forever.
Nope.
That's a given, right?
Yeah.
And
yep.
we never know. Like the poor, you know, child that got hit by a truck on the ATV. You just never
yep.
know. It's easier said than done, though, sometimes. So
boy, is it. Boy. And the other thing that people have pointed out is it's life, right? Everything happens. There's also a great deal of humor in the book. Just funny things happened. And I put that in, too. There were some hilarious things that I thought, you know, I would include and share it with people.
Well, there are, you know, there is humor in it. I'm going to share a real quick story. So when my father was at home in hospice care, and I don't know if I have to cut this out afterwards or not, but when he was in hospice care, the hospice nurse says, is there anything I can do nice for him that would make him feel better? I said, yes, why don't you rub his legs and his feet with some lotion? That would feel good. So she starts to do that, and she's rubbing his feet, and she's rubbing his legs, and he was with it. And he said, you know, you keep that up, you're going to get a surprise when you get up here. And then when the priest was reading him his last rites, you know, and he's going through all this stuff, and my dad goes, okay, Father, I got it. And the priest says, but I'm not done. So, you know, there.
So here's one of my stories. Near the end, Lisa was at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, and there's a wing, if you pay extra, you can get a private room, and I wanted her in a private room at that time. But they had a really weird billing system where you had to pay every day. You had to go down to the business office and give them your credit card. Why they couldn't just give you the whole bill when she was discharged, I don't know. Whatever. So I would be doing this. I would stay until late. The business office there is open 24 hours a day. The people got to know me. I would give them my card. They would ask how she's doing. I would say, you know, coming along. One day, my boss asked, would it be possible if I came into the office early? And I said, sure. And I left earlier than normal. I went into the business office. There was someone else at the desk. And he hands me these three forms. He said, you sign these three forms. And I said, I never had to sign forms before. Is this new? And he said, we always do it this way. We will not release the body unless all three forms are signed. And I looked at him, I said, my wife has cancer, she's not doing well, but I just left her 2 minutes ago and I'm pretty sure she was still breathing. And he looked at me, he said, I am so sorry. It's just that the only people that ever come in here with suits and ties on are undertakers. I thanked him. I said, this is the first laugh I've had in a couple of weeks. I really appreciate that.
Oh, my gosh. So you look like an undertaker. Isn't that funny? Well, you got to mix some of the humor into it, I think. And it's good that you did. Again, you guys have to get this book. You can go on Amazon, you know, order it. It's a short read, and it's Waving Goodbye, Life After Loss. And we are speaking with the author, Warren Kozak. Warren, I got to tell you, I've been doing this radio show about, I don't know, 15 years? Every week for 15 years? That's a lot. But you,
that's a lot.
I'm going to tell you right now, you were one of my favorite guests ever.
Oh, Thank you.
You know, I just enjoyed the conversation. I think our listeners enjoyed the conversation. You know, sometimes you talk to authors and it's wah, wah, wah. But the fact that, you know, I appreciate your background. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate you sharing a story that, like you said, like the nun said, you feel better when you help others. And if this book helps one person or two or 20 or a million, great.
Yeah, yeah. I can't take credit for that. Elizabeth McCormick gets credit for that one.
Yeah,
but
she,
you know what? The feeling was absolutely mutual, Anne. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
And if you want to go to his website, Warren Kozak, that's WarrenKozak.com, and check it out. And thank you again, Warren. It was truly a pleasure. And that's all I can really say.
And it was my pleasure, and thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks to you folks for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. Again, I'm Ann Baldwin. We'll be back here again next week with another edition. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.